It definitely feels like a lot of stuff jumped the shark into extremely stupid.
Jeff, like, where did jump the shark come from?
I just explained this to somebody this week because they wrongly attributed it to Evel Knievel. Jump the shark comes from an episode of Happy Days where Fonzie, Arthur Fonzarelli, water skis off a jump over a shark.
Hey.
Thank you. Hey.
Hey. That was perfect.
Well, I need your advice. Put stickers on your cards. With an astronaut chase, a plane's walking, but my goblin needs nuts. Moreau said it could not be done, but some suits at the reserve list is gone. Pay a premium price, might get a proxy marks. Well, they took beta cards, put them in crappy frames, and they charged the people $1,000 just to open Thought Lace. Moreau said it could not be done, but some suits said the reserve list is gone. Pay a premium price, might get a proxy mox. Hasbro, Hasbro, give us just one reprieve now. You can make shitty cars, but leave them out of legacy, please. Moreau said it could not be done, but some suits said the reserve list is gone. Pay a premium price, might get a proxy mox.
Hello and welcome to the Canadian Threshold, the Legacy Podcast. It's breaking spirit of the reserve list until we're not, I guess. My name is Quinn Amore, and I'm here as always with my co-host, Jeff Kinsey.
Hey.
You're not my best work, eh?
No, because I think we're all on board about breaking the reserve list and even the spirit of the reserve list.
Oh, I guess I should have been not breaking the spirit of the reserve list until we are. Should we do it again? It's too late now. The magic's gone.
No, it's too late.
I like how our new habit is to just kind of banter back and forth and just leave McBain hanging.
I want to set like a record of how far we can go. I don't even know if he's here, to be honest. I've just blacked out the bottom part of my monitor.
You think we could go like half a podcast? No one can see this. It's a video. It's an audio medium, but we can just move out of frame. And he's back. So now we can introduce him. Our other co-host, Brandon McBain. McBain, what's up?
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, YouTuber McBain, real voice reveal.
Smash the bell icon for that one.
Yeah. Like and subscribe, please.
Oh.
All right.
We've got lots to talk about. Let's get into some housekeeping.
Yeah, we got a full agenda here. Jeff, you're gonna have to make it quick on this one.
Yeah, gotta make room. Same thing as last week. Is a 1K. It's a 1K, right? At Laughing Dragon in North Issaquah, November 5th at 11 a.m. You know, Storm Winds opens whenever. Prizes. I'm not going to give out the prizes. It's a 1K. It says it's a 1K, but there's been so much prize pool drama lately. I don't want to hold them to it.
Oh, here, let me... Let me add on to this. So in the announcement, it actually has some extra text here that says, if the player count reaches its cap, the prize payout will be adjusted to a 2K. And it kind of sort of doubles things, but not quite. And regardless, there is a free single player entry fee to Puget Sound Battleground 5 for the winner. But it's interesting how they spell out the change in prizes based on the capping, but that's good.
Yeah. In light of recent events, good communication is helpful. So that's November 5th. I know we both, McBain and I, had marked down as in the tentative calendar. That is still the placeholder for me yet. That hasn't been carved into stone, but I would love to go.
Would it help if Merfolk champion Elliot Fisher was attending?
It's always an upside. always an upside. Also, his, like, you know, bingo card for getting mentioned on podcasts recently must be getting too filled out. We need to make sure we keep his ego in check. And in one half, that's making sure to make fun of him every time we say that he split with Merfolk. But on the other hand, maybe we need to exercise a little blackball.
I never bring him up. You guys always do. So.
That'd be a good time. Anybody who wants to carpool, you know, always fun to get a squad together. Really.
Okay. So
looking at the dates, I'm just going to say Unfinity is going to be legal by then. So it might be best to have as many people in the car as possible to make sure we have a good time.
Dylan did say he was interested.
Perfect. Perfect. And so, I had Jack reach out as well. Not that he'll need a ride with us, but you know, get some Seattle squad showing up.
So I guess the one other comment or question I would have is, where are you at out of 10? 10 being high, 1 being low, on going down the night before and doing what we did last time.
I do always appreciate going the night before, you know, being able to just go and like relax, have some food or whatever, go get some beer and then head over is great, because driving all the way down and coming back just sucks. So yeah, more details to be figured out offline. Patreon feed if you want access to that.
Okay. So cool.
That's it. I got nothing else. I was hoping we'd have some Eternal Weekend news by now, or maybe some whatever bastardization of Magic Online Daybreak Games Eternal Weekend thing is, but there's nothing.
So like, it must not be in person, right?
Well, they like to push it.
But they, like, in past years, they've at least been like, we'll have details soon, you know?
True.
Yeah. No, it's well past the point.
Like, they've said, like, we don't know, which means like, that's got to be like a no, right? You have to be like booking venues and stuff.
I'm curious what, because, you know, it's the 30th year or whatever. So they got the Vegas thing, which is when again, Quinn?
Like Halloween weekend.
Halloween weekend. Are you still going down for that?
I thought about it, and then did going to Vegas that weekend is really expensive. So it's just like, yeah. And then the events are fine. I bought, like, they're kind of expensive, but I'm not as like up in arms about it as everyone else.
Is there a beta draft?
You can win a modern tournament and then you get to beta draft.
Did they front load this? Like, what is the wording around this beta draft?
Yeah. Is there like two asterisks on it?
Is it like a collector's beta draft?
Oh, so are you trying to transition into the...
Not even, it's a natural transition, but, you know, given that's a 30th anniversary and that's something they're releasing for the 30th anniversary, I would be skeptical of that being a real beta draft.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, I absolutely can.
Anything's possible this week.
They're saving so much money on the cosplayers, though. They must be able to at least afford one pack of beta. They fix that, right? After people complain.
I mean, somebody bled a bit more money out of them other than like the $20 McDonald's gift card they were going to get. But yeah. Dude, more profit than ever. That's the announcement.
50% more profit.
Yep.
Oh, that should have been
50% less prizes.
We should have been We should have been the Legacy Podcast that's going to make 50% more profit this year. it's so easy. 50% is zero.
Dude, no, we maxed out that other year. I got a sweater. That's the most profit we've ever achieved.
Oh, that doesn't count. That's your personal gain.
That's not right off.
That's not Canadian Threshold LLC.
Yeah, that's not in the corpse budget. Okay, so let's assume you did go. Like, what are the formats? Like, is it just like drafting? Like, what would you be playing?
I think there's a bunch of throwback drafts. I'm assuming there's like regular drafts. There's shitloads. I'll play blackjack probably. there's lots of commander. I would imagine I'd not do that probably. And then legacy. There's like expensive legacy four rounders, and if you 4-0, you get a pack of Italian legends.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which is like kind of sick.
Is that like 30th anniversary Italian legends?
Yeah, it's like $100 entry or something, which is like sort of expensive, but like, I don't know.
It would be fun. Yeah. Like
I've lost $100 in way less time than that in Vegas. So like, you know,
but
we're talking about the weekend. Last time we were there, Tristan and I saw some guy just peeling $100 bills off back when you could get revised packs for $100 and just straight bricking. Like not even opening like demonic tutor, just straight garbage.
Boxes live.
Yeah. Well, how much is a revised booster now? Like $400 or something?
This means like a five lot. Something. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not buying one.
Well, what if it was 250?
What if you couldn't play with any of the cards?
Yeah, what if it was 250? What if you could
pay $250 and you could actually play with an underground C in a legal tournament? That would be that, now that you're talking about it that way, it seems like a good deal.
So, Jeff, what was your initial thoughts when you saw this?
Should we explain this in case there's someone who
I guess I can, not knowing.
So the
day this was announced, I was actually busy for a lot of the day, so I didn't get to like check updates or anything, and I didn't get to see spoilers on any of the stuff that's going on. And then, you know, I checked in the afternoon and I just see a million posts in like these group chats and people being like, 30th anniversary, 30th anniversary. What the hell is this? What's going on? So then I got to read, as I'll explain to everybody here right now, that for the 30th anniversary of Magic, Wizards is releasing essentially collector's edition packs of beta, but it is slightly changed beta because it doesn't have Earthbind in it.
Doesn't have Earthbind, Weakness, Crusade.
Why is Weakness out?
What's wrong with Weakness?
It's like just like a dude.
Yeah, I think it's like an Asian thing or something. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah, and no boobies on Earthbind.
No Earthbind.
Yeah, but anyways, it's a booster pack of this beta with a 30th edition like collectors or 30th anniversary collector's edition back. You know, you can recreate the experience as Richard Garfield intended of opening a Mox or opening a Lotus, which that sounds cool. Collector's edition stuff, that's cool. It's much cooler when it's like a constructed deck. The idea before of was Worlds or whatever, right? Somebody would win and they'd print these decks. That's such a dope thought. Somebody wins a big event in a premier format and then they print, you know, a collector's edition of the deck so you can buy the top eight and like play with your friends. Like that's so fucking cool. Then to go to randomized packs is a little loose. And then the slideshow got to the point where we're talking about pricing. And I only saw this mentioned as one bundle. I don't know if it is separate, but it's four packs for $999.
Yeah.
Which is insane. It's purely just ridiculous. Like, I don't understand. Like, there's so many products they have that are already for people that are willing to spend a bunch of money. You look at like Secret Lair, collector boosters, you know, they've gone crazy, a lot of different kinds of editions and stuff. And there's so much money coming in from that stuff. And some of that is fun to dip into a bit. I know people see a Secret Lair they like and think, wow, that's so cool. I'm going to pick it up. And some people will buy collector booster things because they're extra fun to pack war with or like whatever. But the idea of having these cards not playable in any format that costs so much fucking money, and within that you don't have choice over the ones you get, I just don't understand. And then also they have like the Magic Online formatting of the frame, which looks terrible. Like I saw there's like what silver like artifacts, like there's a soul ring like that. And then there's all the Mox, you know, is the dark brown artifact. Like, sure. But then
sometimes you get the.
Is it sometimes?
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff, you're doing a really bad job at explaining.
So you can open a Mox, and sometimes you open an old bordered Mox.
Okay. So
you could open an underground sea, and sometimes you open an old bordered underground sea, but also it'll have the inside frame treatment of the online underground sea. So not quite.
The all-in-ones are so bad.
Okay, so you get four boosters. In each booster, there's a rare 3 uncommons, 7 commons, 2 basic lands, and a modern frame basic land, and a retro frame card. And that retro frame card could be the Lotus, or it could be a Mox, whatever.
Could be.
Yeah. So it's exceedingly rare to get a rare retro frame. But the... So you have the newer framed cards, the modern frame, and then you have the retro frame. One thing that I absolutely just throw up on my mouth in a little bit on this is that the newer frame, like the what 95% of the set is, all the arts are like slightly zoomed in. And like all of them are slightly zoomed in, but like some are like quite zoomed in.
Like the top of the Sol Ring's cut off.
Yeah. So like it doesn't look so bad, like other than Sol Ring, which is just like an abomination. It doesn't look so bad for some cards, but like some of them, where's one that just...
They're really helping out? Like the overseas counterfeiters with this, because before, you know, you could like look at something and be like, well, like it's like crops all fucked up. It's like they don't understand what this Magic card is supposed to look like. There's no way it could be official. But now, sure, he's out.
Yeah, so it just, some of them look just heinous, but yeah, so I don't know. I've heard anywhere from like around $30,000. If you spend that much, you'll likely get the whole set. And that's not even like, and that's not even likely get like the retro frame set. It's just like you'll get the set of like adjusted beta new frame with a bunch of retro frame cards.
A whole set of unplayable cards.
Yeah. I think in several different ways, this is just designed for collectors. Like, obviously, it's not playable, so it's not really designed for players. But the fact that it's so expensive is just a collector thing.
It's even for collectors, though. It's crazy. This seems like extremely greedy.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not a crazy collector, but like, maybe the rarer and fancier it is, like the more they like it.
The thing it does give some interesting pressure to is it makes me feel a bit like, are you going to end up seeing something like old school rules where you can play collector's edition cards if Legacy keeps moving to more of a community focused thing with a little new influx of like some, you know, collector's edition duels. I mean, it's not like it makes them more accessible if they're in, you know, packs that cost nearly as much as like revised packs.
Yeah, but the packs really don't matter. It's what would someone pay for it after the fact? And it's like, hey, well, I had to spend 30 grand to get this one Lotus, so give me 30 grand for it. It's like, no, tough shit. I'm going to pay you what I want to pay for it. So I don't know. Like, it'll be interesting to see what the aftermarket price for singles is for these things.
Like, what do you even use them for? Like, I guess sure. if you get like collector's edition power for your cube, there's still like a little bit of cachet there. But like, imagine showing up at someone's place and you're like trying to be polite about the fact that they have this like weird bordered fucking Lotus in their cube that they paid like $800 for when they could have just printed a Lotus that looks good. You know, like collector's edition, like cards, they have square corners, but they look nice. Like they look like real Magic cards, right?
Well, and the fact that like the text and the formatting and everything is like beta formatting. So it's like that big blocky letters all like really poorly describing how the card actually works. Whereas these are just like tap symbol, add skull. It's in like simple font. Like you said about the dual lands, it's just like it fades from black to red. It's not like that kind of cool rectangular pattern. It's just, it's a totally different thing. And there's going to be some people who like that. I don't know who, but most people would rather have, like, I would imagine if you're already playing with like proxy stuff, but you want like official proxy stuff, I would easily see people just saying, no, I want the collector edition. Like, get out of here. I don't want this 30th anniversary thing, but That's our way of seeing it anyway.
Yep. I love when something like this happens where it's like pretty clear the vast majority of people are like, what the fuck is this? And there's always like two dudes too on Twitter where it was like, someone's like, who is this for? It's like, well, actually, I'm quite interested in this. Like, fuck, shut up. Read the room, man. Like, fuck.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a lot of big things happening in dumb card news recently. Things that are fake, but should be real. Things that are real, but should be fake.
You going to pull back the curtain on this one, or?
So Infinity cards coming out legal in Legacy.
Okay. So we talked about this a bunch last time. Like, is there actually like new cards that you want to, I guess
there's been some stuff spoiled since then. So. Yeah. The whole thing. I know there's two vaguely interesting to Quinn, not in a way I think he wants to be interested, but in the way he might end up having to own at some point to at least test for 1 week.
I'm just like not gonna do it. I think I just like it'll be awkward because like, well, I'll have to stop doing this podcast probably, but I'm just like I'm not carrying out a fucking pack of sticker cards for every how many do you need? Like 10?
You need 10 and then you like draw three or something
randomly.
Yeah.
Before the game starts. I don't even want to play a Yorion deck. I don't want to write down 20 extra cards to register. Like, I don't know, man.
So what I did want to talk about, which is moderately interesting, and I again hate that it's from this, is I've been watching a few people go back and forth talking about, well, there's been two cast people talking about this card. One for excellent Twitter meme value, and one for actually playable, which is kind of fucked up. Are you guys both familiar with Mind Goblin?
I'm familiar with the meme that is Mind Goblin.
But... Well, I thought if anyone was going to fucking set him up there, it was going to be you. Well done, McBain. You did it.
Dodged it. So there's a card in Infinity that's, I mean, underscore, like blank goblin. Cost 2 and a red. It's a goblin guest. And when it comes into play, you can put a name sticker on it, and then you get 1 red mana for each unique vowel on that sticker. And it's a 2/2. What this effectively is when you have your sticker deck is it's 3 mana for a 2/2 that has an equal chance of making you 6, 5, and 4 red mana. And you know how much mana you're going to get before the game starts because you have your sticker deck lined up on the side. You can put this in a goblin deck that's tuned quite heavily towards Moxus, and you can get insane bursts of mana. Being able to tutor for essentially Seething Song, or put Seething Song into play for cheaper, and then go off for like Roundbelt Horde Master or like anything else, this does a lot to get you to Amoxus, as well as generating a shitload of mana off of Amoxus. Kind of fucked up that I am going to show up at Legacy with a sticker deck.
Yeah.
Not looking forward to that part of it, but definitely going to pick some up and try this out. And now I get to look at the weirdness of, I was trying to find a pre-order for Infinity singles, which I don't think anybody ever tries to pre-order silver border singles. And then I need some sticker decks. So got to find some.
If you don't put the sticker right in the card, I'm going to call a judge. I don't even care if that's how it works.
That's how it's supposed to work. But like, how the fuck is it? Are you going to replace your sticker deck all the time?
No, I think you're allowed to use like a stand-in.
This is weird. It is so weird. And then there's the whole thought of like, okay, it enters the battlefield and you put a name sticker on it. What's the judge call? Is that a separate trigger? Like, can you kill it before the name sticker goes on it? And then if you do you get the mana? Or if you don't, is the sticker gone? Like, do you go to the next sticker deck?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So I would have thought you would have had this figured out if you're coming in here.
That's the thing, is there's no fucking judge prep release notes on the Infinity set.
So can't a sticker go on like any card anywhere?
It maintains it, you know, as it travels between zones. But if it's like an enters the battlefield trigger on the stack, bullet your thing, like maybe it goes on into the graveyard and then you assume not get the mana, but I don't know.
You get like, if you exhume it, what happens?
Then yeah.
Is the question, yeah.
Yep. Huh. Very strange.
Well, I guess like, yeah, because if the sticker's gonna come into play, the sticker's on the sticker's still gone, the sticker's still go back on the sticker card.
Does it go on the thing in the graveyard? Is like the mana part of the sticker going on situation, or is it resolved after as a separate thing?
I do want to ask about Embiggen, Quinn. Oh, well, God. First I'm going to go off of Jeff, because the fact that it does say target non-brushwag creature.
Oh, beautiful.
How much did you love that?
That's an excellent nod. I love that. At first, you're like, this is very strange. And then quickly, somebody points out it's to stop giving like plus 300 off changelings.
The changelings, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just the choice of it being Brushwag is great. I think, God, I'm going to get their name wrong. Who was it that posts? It's not Carmen Handy. Whoever, they're, you know, they're working for WotC and they were trying to solve that problem. And they're like, what if we just made it say non Brushwag? And I think Mara was like, sick. It's absolutely true. Like a great opportunity to chuck that in there.
Yeah, I think that's great.
And so, then all the convoluted combos people were posting about, like, you can use this to make it say non-human, and then a werewolf pack leader, when it attacks, it becomes not a human, and then you can cast it and give it plus, you know, whatever.
So just so we're clear, Embiggen is an instant for one green. And it says until end of turn, target non-brushwag creature gets +1/+1 for each super type card type and its subtype. So give me an example of that, Jeff.
No, this is a situation where I just thought, up to this point, I can't tell you what a super type is, and I am not going to learn. My opponent's just going to look at me and say, this gives +6/+6, and I'll be like, fuck.
Quinn, you probably know a bit more about this.
So Blighted Agent was a human rogue, also a creature, which means that we get +1/+1 for its creature super type, +2/+2 for its two subtypes, human rogue. And now, thanks to, I don't know, fuck, some story that I guess we'll find out about in like 8 months or something, it's a Phyrexian as well, which means that this is instant speed. I guess it's, yeah.
+4?
It's what's that fucking card that's played in Modern, in fact?
A Might of Old Krosa?
It's Might of Old Krosa, except you don't have the main phases to get +4/+4.
And if you hit a Inkmoth Nexus, it's 5/5, right? For the artifact? Yeah.
Wow. So creature and artifact are the super types, and then the creature types are the subtypes.
You know, yeah, creature, artifact, land, Blink Moth, Phyrexian Blink Moth.
Fucking hell.
Hey, I don't know. So, we've been trying to like figure out how big Tarmogoyf is for decades, so whatever.
There's like a slight downside vis-a-vis like scale up in Infect, because on turn two, you can like scale up and either Berserk or Invigorate and kill on turn two. But scale up's sorcery speed. Obvious drawback there. Whereas this is like only kills in combination with Berserk if your opponent's at like zero poison counters. But it's instant speed, which is like pretty big.
And even the whole effect of like the old play way to play around Infect is like you kill them on your turn, not when they go to pump. You kill the creatures, and then you can just be like, oh, I'll protect my guy, or I'll give it +1/+4, like dodge your bolt. Even that's fine. So I don't know. It seems fine. It doesn't seem goofy either. At least when I look at the card,
the name,
like,
I don't have to carry around extra cards. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, you're not sitting like Jeff's sitting here saying, trying to make me walk into a mind goblin and contemplating the rules of stickers. Whereas you're just like, yeah, it's just a giant growth. Cool. Like, I don't know. It seems that to me seems fine. And Embiggen even doesn't sound that ridiculous.
I think the thing that I'm like they could have put this in a regular set with a normal name, and then they could have picked, I don't know, maybe the story of the creature type. I'm sure something would have come up, which, like, I don't know, would have been fine. I guess. Yeah, there's nothing like terrible with this. I refuse to play Line Prancers, though, which is another card that may become playable in Infect. When Line Prancers enter the battlefield, sorry, it's a one in a green for a 2 mana 2/2 Centaur Performer. When Lion
so it doesn't Prancers, combo very well with Embiggen, is what you're saying.
Not great. Not
it's
great.
Just plus 2, plus 2. Okay.
Plus 3, plus 3. Creature, Centaur, Performer. But when it enters the battlefield, you get 2 stickers. And then you may put a power and toughness sticker on a creature you own. It also has, for 3 and a green, target creature you don't control blocks target creature you control with a power and toughness sticker on it, other than Line Prancer this turn. The power and toughness stickers make all your Infect 1/1s either, or can make a Infect 1/1, I guess, a 1/4, a 5/1, a 2/3, a 1/5, a 4/2, a 2/3. That's what it's just repeated. 3/1, a 4/1, a 3/2, a 2/4, a 1/4. Yeah, I think that's it. That's
oh
it.
My yeah. God.
So, like, permanent pump obviously is good. So, like, making just like a 5/1 Blighted Agent, it's quite strong. Activating Ink Moth, if you have enough mana, then playing this, making your Ink Moth a 5/1, and then how would that work actually?
I don't know.
Because the activated ability Ink Moth makes it a 1/1 Blink Moth, and then you make it a 5/1, it stops being. Okay, I don't know about Ink Moth Nexus, but
you'd have to animate it before putting a sticker on it, anyways, right? Because you the sticker goes yeah, on a yeah. creature. So but you make it a 1/1, put a 5/1 sticker on it. You mean like a turn later?
Yeah, it stops being a creature. And then let's say next turn, I activate it again. It becomes a 1/1 Blink Moth. Does it become a 5/1?
It's a good question.
You know what? I'm never going to find out because well, I just, then. I'm not going to fucking do this. They've like beaten me down. I played through the fucking Random 6 era with my 1/1s in a 250 person tournament. And they did it. They just like, they broke me. But if you want to continue playing Magic the Gathering, if you get this down before someone plays Plague Engineer, then you can make, you know, for example, your Blighted Agent a 3/3, and then it gets -1/-1, it's still 2/2. And then you play Embiggen, and you Embiggen again, and you hit them for 10. Exactly.
Nice. Oh, but how do they make
an Embiggen card? Dive, so. And not a Cromulent card.
What does Cromulent mean again? Like, I know
Embiggen's a perfectly word, but... Cromulent word.
Oh, yeah. Cromulent's a real word, though, right?
I don't think so. I think it's also a Simpsons word. Is. I think it has since become a real word.
It's not in the Merriam-Webster dictionary.
Robbed. Maybe that's why. They're afraid to simp for Simpsons.
It is in Wiktionary, though. Here we are. What a world.
It's sad, man. Stuff's fucking...
You're officially a boomer now, Jeff. Welcome.
I know.
I think the thing about this is like, and I say this as someone who like loves Magic, or loved it at least. Magic's never been cool, you know? Like, I mean, now I'm just like...
We got Post Malone.
Yeah, it's not helping. like, oh man, that's a... I'm going to like just, we're just going to make everyone mad. They're going to be mad at me, but we can do personal Twitters at the end too. So we don't take shit on the regular Twitter. But man, like when Magic people post about music, it's like I think over 50% chance that it's like the fucking worst music. Like I just follow a bunch of Magic people for like random reasons, except Chris Pakula.
Oh, Pakula's on a good shit.
I don't like a shit about like a lot of shit about metal. So, I mean, maybe there's something in that is not super good, but like, when he just like strays away from metal into like bands, and I'm like, oh fuck, that's a good band. Shit. Okay, Pakula, I get it. It's the old man too. Still on top of his shit. Anyways. What the fuck was I saying?
I need to know what like bad Magic player music take started this.
A lot of like new metal and like, I don't know, just like.
Well, somebody like, bro, have you heard this new Evanescence single?
I mean, it's like stuff that I would never like respond to, obviously. Yeah.
Wake me up inside.
You just see stuff and you're like, it's not even like I don't like it, you know, like because there's lots of good band. Like I don't really like Fleetwood Mac, but I'm like Fleetwood Mac's a bad band. Like they're not, obviously. But there's just stuff I'm like, oh, that's just like universally kind of like accepted as like not good music.
Oh, Gatekeeper Quinn coming out to play.
Like I said, fucking tweet about whatever you want. I don't care.
I'll just talk about it on my podcast.
No one knows. I can't even think of an example. It's the kind of thing where you'll see and you're just kind of like, ooh, okay. And you keep scrolling, you know, like whatever.
Yeah, it's funny.
Can we talk about some of the decks from the Legacy Pit?
Yeah, regale me.
I don't know if you heard about this blue-red Delver deck, but there are a couple neat innovations in that space.
I just think Steam Vents are on, up or down?
Actually, there was... So I don't own a Steam Vents, and I've been playing blue-red Delver, and I just saw a list that had two islands instead of the one-in-one split, and I was like, oh, but still my heart. This is some sweet tech here. No, I was just like... looking at the fairy tale story that was the Tony Scapone on Mono Red Storm / Splashing for Echo, but it's the storm deck that he's kind of famous for on Magic Online. And the fact that like you play this obscure kind of powerful deck that no one else really plays on Magic Online, and then just proceed to show up to a real life tournament and play your thing and almost take down the whole event. I think that's super cool.
I also didn't expect his real name to be Tony Scapone. I just assumed that was like a Magic Online thing.
That is not his real name, right?
I believe that's what his name showed up as on the Legacy Pit.
We'll have to wait for Callum to correct it.
It is like all one word. Like, I don't think his legal name is one word, Tony Scapone.
Like when he was like on the cast. I don't know if anybody else had names like that either.
I'm not going to dox him, but that is not his real name.
Your gamer name. Oh.
No. Last name is not Scapone.
Scapone.
Sorry to let you know. Also, it's not one word.
Oh.
Well, man. Still to play like basically a one person deck. Like, well, I guess, you know.
It is like
If anyone we know where it's going to play, it's going to be George. But yeah, to play a really obscure deck and then show up and just do really well with it, I think is sweet. The deck is just terrifying to look at, though.
There was a match in the quarters or something where, you know, he was just going off like wheel, storm, whatever. And it's like almost getting there. It's like, well, didn't piece it together. Pass.
Isn't that what Galvanic Relay is for, though? Like on those.
Yeah, there were some pretty anemic sometimes. Relays in that match, too, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's kind of the thing, right? Is like you've got, you know, your 12 payoff spells, and then the rest is just kind of like fast mana and dirtle cards.
But yeah, 7 lands. You got no room for anything else.
But 3 Overmasters? Oh.
Draws a card.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, you say, it's funny, you say Overmaster, and I have a distinct memory of a place I saw an Overmaster. Like, not playing a blue deck, like, it's not even like I got owned by it or something. I can just picture myself playing at a GPT in Wisers in, like, 2015, sitting facing, you know, the southern window, and somebody cast an Overmaster.
Wow.
Was it like game breaking or anything? It's just right to that moment. Yeah.
Wow. One time during God Accounts, someone cast an Overmaster against me. And then just like cast a Lotus Petal. And I was like, okay. And then they cast their next spell and it was like counterspell. And there was this long pause. Couldn't have been Lotus Petal. Must have been like a, I don't know, some other instant or sorcery, Rite of Flame or something. Because it's, you know, it's not like,
right? It's not Veil, yeah.
And I remember being like, "Oh wow!" A bit like, you know, same as me. We were like both playing decks we didn't know. I was like, "Oof, gotta remember that one." And I shit you not, later that night I cast Overmaster and I was like, "Oh no, I'm mana short, Rite of Flame," and then immediately put the Rite of Flame stack. I was like, "No, fuck!" and then I cast Burning Wish anyway, as I lost.
So, Jeff, I wanted to ask you about this David Lance and the D&T deck. So, is this who is David Lance? I heard some like comments about him.
Oh, David is probably better known by his gamer name of Static Crypt. Notably also won or top aided Eternal Weekend Vintage the year we were there last time.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Long time D&T player. Very good D&T player. Very good guy. Very good at Magic.
So this is the Yorion Death and Taxes, but splashing red for 2 Magus in the main and then 5 Blasts in the sideboard. That's obnoxious. Oh, yeah. Would this be like where you would be starting if you were going to the Laughing Dragon event in November and you're playing D&D?
Yeah, this is absolutely, I think, what you'd consider stock. You know, you need all the blasts to concern yourself with all the just blue everything that's happening all the time. Notable changes from what you'd see over like a couple, you know, really years is there's no Sanctum Prelate. It's been pushed out. I mean, when you have the blasts, you kind of don't need it, and it's also pretty slow for a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, I mean, it's more or less the same list that's been kicking around for a while. It's just the numbers tweaked. You know, Peacekeeper in the side, which has come out and in. Singleton Mindbreak Trap in my 80 card deck, by the way. and you know, it's like switching your one of Grave Hate around. It's the same dance you do a lot of times. You know, you're like, oh, I'm gonna play Rips now. Oh, I'm gonna play Surgicals. I'm gonna play Graft Digger's Cage. I think Cage is also a consideration to the way Elves has been going a lot lately, mm-hmm. which is playing as few Elves as possible and
Like the searchy stuff.
Yeah, just going into the like green black rock, because I think they're also not really playing much of a way to get rid of Cage. Yeah, and then everything else is like absolutely standard.
I like that. It's like, well, they'd have to search to get rid of Cage, and then you're like, and how are you finding your Cage? You shut up. You leave me alone. Don't punch down.
Hey, if there's one thing 80 card D&T can do, it's find exactly what it needs to when it has no possible way to do it.
The Lion Sash is just like slotted right in as a staple.
Yep.
It's so flexible, that card. And for like the main deck, when you know you're up against a Uro or something, you're like, oh, never mind. Just get it out of here.
Have a the nice two day. Ways to find it is really nice too, being able to get mm-hmm. it off of a Stoneforge or a Recruiter. Mm-hmm. That actually is cuddling up right next to one of probably the most uncommon cards that's in here. Is there's a Singleton Charming Prince. Usually you'd see that if there's like the Extraction Specialist people messing around with, so you can do a little bit of like a chain up. The Singleton one here, I think, is just, I mean, like it is in any deck it shows up in, just Esper Vial. It's just like a random miser thing, you know. It's a decent gap filler. You can go up the chain on a Recruiter, which is nice. It's just a free 2/2. If you weren't inclined to play that, you'd probably be playing a second Lion Sash, maybe a second Cathar Commando.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this does look like a pretty sweet list, actually. The 5 blasts, though, in the side, like, that must feel so good when you go up against Delver, just some blue deck, and you're like, oh, I'm just gonna put these things in. Did you know they cost 1 mana? Have a nice day. And they could just kill your Teferi.
It's such a powerful feeling. And the last time I played red-white D&T, is just like somebody casts something and they look at you because they know, and you're just like, yeah, fuck you. blast. Murktide, get out of here. Or you're forcing my spell, blast. Yeah, it's sweet. And I love to see the Timeless Dragon in here. I mean, that's been a staple now for, you know, until shortly after it was released, but that card's just so good. Like, it's so unassuming, and it's just that little gap filler, you know, find a land, make a dude. Every once in a while, you get the actual, you know, 2-for-1 on the creature side, which is like playing it face up, and then, you know, they manage to deal with it, and then you put it back in. And the fact that it's 5/2 means you have another use for Vial on 5. Like, you end up with 7 cards you can put in with a Vial on 5. Which is crazy.
Wow.
Yep.
That's impressive. Yeah, that does look really sweet. Do you have any idea what you would play in November? It's a month from now, you know, stickers could totally upend things, but
I think if somehow I don't totally lose my nerve right now, I'm gonna be playing the Mind Goblin, Turbo Muxus.
Really?
So I might need to borrow some Chrome Moxes. but
they're gonna say some stickers, but
like, well, maybe like, are they just gonna be in the fucking dumpster behind Stronghold right after this releases? Like,
yeah, you can borrow my Chrome boxes as long as you put stickers on them.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's actually a red mox now.
Yeah, the sticker says so.
Yeah, exactly. See?
So yeah, I don't know. Probably goblins. I mean, it's playing with Renbelt Horde Master is cool. I did a few leagues online, and once you hit just like Skirk Prospector and like a bunch of Mogwar Marshals, and you just start like dark ritualing while drawing your deck, it's very fun. The deck, the card also is, I assumed it would be easier to go off with that card, like the Horde Master, where, you know, when you have a goblin die, you exile a top card and play it to the end next turn. But you end up kind of with these lines where you just start like sacking your goblins for mana. Like, you know, you're doing it dead on board, and like, okay, well, I'll just make like six mana and see what happens. And sometimes, you know, you hit a Muxus in the top six cards. And sometimes you just go like land, vile, land, you know, useless goblin. But it's interesting when you get a bunch together. Weird lines of the deck. And I think there's a bit of an identity crisis that's going to be happening between like a super combo version that's just all in on trying to do something regardless of interaction, or going to more of a normal, you know, port wasteland pile driver deck.
Hmm. The latter seems, I don't know, my gut just tells me that's not going to be the winning.
I think so.
Version.
I think it's just a concession to like 2022 Magic design, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Like, you have to put your own dumb shit on the table.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I'm cautiously interested in your Mind Goblin
deck. If you make it down to Laughing Dragon, what are you going to be playing?
Well, I was just remarking to myself that in the top 32 for the Legacy Pit, there is zero lands decks. Like, in the Legacy data, lands has been doing pretty well, honestly. Like, it's like I can't remember, it's like 52 or 53 win percentage, like pretty good matchups across the field. There's a couple of things that play Dark Ritual that you don't like, but
I saw Ali's sideboard guide. It's like, if they play Dark Ritual, I just
get up. I guess I die. Yeah, like, it's, I tried to like put lands down for a while, but it keeps kind of pulling me back. But I don't know if I'd want to just, you know, brush it off, play three games, and then be like, let's go play 10 rounds of lands. Hooray. I might even just, you know, fire up some Delver and go have some fun. But I'm not quite sure.
Is that fun?
Well, it's just that you, it's like I was saying
Magic
last episode, is like you're just playing some Magic.
It's true.
Like, even the games, and especially now that you're like, you're not on this like low to the ground plan, you're playing like, Dylan and I were talking about this last night with Expressive Iteration, where like you just inherently don't want to go fast. You're just sitting there kind of holding up some removal, casting some cantrips, and then you're like, ooh, my turn's 3 and 4, I'm going to slightly pull ahead and sculpt my hand a little bit more. And it's just like, it leads to these longer, more interesting games, which I don't think is like inherently a bad thing.
Less interesting than the old Delver.
Than like Probe, Young Pyromancer, Deathrite.
I think McBain's saying, in the scope of Legacy as it is right now, the hope of getting interesting games is a Delver mirror where you each just have a billion cards all the time.
No, but when you're just saying like it's like different than old Delver, like I think even, I mean, Probe is not a particularly fun card, but I think like Murktide makes Delver like significantly less interesting. Like, still in the scope of today's game,
one of those. I'm definitely not, like, for some decks,
I'd rather 100%. Play Deathrite mirrors than Murktide mirrors. Deathrite is a card that should be banned, but that's fun.
I don't know. I think
I don't think Murktides, it's fun against other decks, but like two Deathrites is fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think the thing with Expressive and Murktide is that it has just made Red Blast so prominent. Like, we're just talking about Jeff's deck, where it's just like, oh, I just play 5 Red Blast so that I can't gain card advantage, and I have more removal for their like one threat that they have. But I don't know. I've been enjoying the games, but yeah, to the point, you get to play some Magic, and I don't know. I've been enjoying it. But yeah, the whole like 7 out of 16 of the top 8 being Blue Red Delver. And sure, there are like flavors of Blue Red Delver, but please, like there's
like 3 card differences here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, ooh, you've got one expressive iteration in the side. Look out.
You paid $20 for Maddening Hex. All right. Put that in the sideboard.
I watched a few matches, and Jarvis versus Ryan somebody, and you know, Blue Red Delver mirror, slightly different decks. And like watching this match as Jarvis's deck just didn't cooperate with him. Like they're both playing, you know, probably like 70 card mirrors. And there was so many instances where, you know, Jarvis draws express iteration. You're like, oh, he's going to turn the corner. And he casts it. And it's just like complete dog shit. And then his opponent does the same thing. And it's just straight gas. Like, oh man, variance is a motherfucker. Is it possible that a shuffle truther in real life?
That's why I'm so glad that they added more variance in the game. Because the shuffler is against me, so I need my opponents to roll dice every time they make a game action.
I'm coming with a sticker deck.
Yeah.
Can you? Is there like a scenario? Has everyone looked at the actual stickers? Like, is there a scenario where you just like draw 3 bad stickers and have like 4 bad cards in your deck?
No, because you get to choose the sticker cards you put in your sticker deck. So with the goblin, with the ones you choose, the worst you can do is make 4 mana.
Oh, okay, so that's like a floor. Okay.
Yeah. And there's an equal chance, I think, of making 6 mana, making 5 mana, and making 4 mana. And because you see it ahead of time, you can plan around it. It's really fucking stupid.
Okay, I'm just going to shout out one more deck. And I swear it's not about a certain merfolk champion, a merfolk person. But it's giving me vibes here. But it's basically just like the creature suite is 4 Ice Fang, 4 Stoneforge, and a Snapcaster. And then you've got 2 Minsk and Boo, 2 Teferi, Cauldra Batterskull, Jitay, and like a smattering of Brainstorms, Pyroblasts, Swords, Cantrips.
Which deck is this?
It's down at the bottom. Harlan Fire is playing a Stoneblade deck. And it's just this like hodgepodge with like Minsk and Boo thrown in there. You got 3 carpets in the side, 1 Blue Blast in the main.
That's another thing I'll say. Playing like, you know, more than 1 game against Minsk and Boo, like fucking sucks ass. It's just on the stack of things that suck.
I can't believe the hamster keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to spend your Planeswalker activation on it. It's fucking wild.
The only good thing is that you can bolt it, like, when the hamster's on the stack.
Yeah.
But still, a card's fucking gross.
But, like, when you have, like, Krakus or something, you're just, like, nice.
People keep saying that, but it's still like not that. Like, you can, like, okay, I just locked your Kragas down forever, and like I'm plussing this thing that you will have to deal with at some point still. Because if I get rid of your Kragas, I'm fucking unchained.
Or I'm simply putting 3+1+1 counters on. Oh, I guess it's on any other creature, right? Because other decks don't
play. It has to have like trample or haste or something.
Okay, so on that note, in the sideboard of this deck is the same card that Elliot had in his Minsk and Boo deck, which is it Staticaster, which has haste.
Ooh.
So I definitely saw a pumped up is it Staticaster at one point, but that's pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie.
Fuck, is it Staticaster? Oh.
Remember when like the most eye-rolly thing that could happen to you, Jeff, was a Staticaster?
Mm-hmm.
Good. No, it was like Rough and Tumble.
Kozilek's Return. Ugh.
Joni Mitchell plays in the background. Yeah, that's it. You don't know what you got until it's gone. That's a reference, guys. That's why it's funny. You get it?
I was thinking about like that Paved Paradise put up a parking lot song.
That's Joni Mitchell, song. Right? That's
is the same song.
Yeah.
So yeah, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Well, it's directly before.
Keep going. Fine. Keep going. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. God damn it. You know, for the longest time hearing that song on the radio, there's a cover that was popular on like Canadian radio in like the early 2000s.
No, there's a Janet Jackson song that interpolates the
it was a man chorus. Singing.
No, it was a guy. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
It was an Uncle Cracker or something. Yeah.
And I always thought it was like, "Hey Paradise, like put up a fucking light." And I was so confused.
This is what I was talking about with the magic players and their music opinion.
I don't think they're defending Uncle Cracker.
I'm not saying you said it was good, but I was just like, oh, you're clearly referencing that Janet Jackson song, right? Off of the Velvet Rope. Really good album. No? Nobody? No?
No.
No. We don't have your taste and expertise in music.
These songs are all like Billboard top 10 hits.
Yeah, in like 1985.
The Velvet Rope came out in like 2001.
This pre or post Boobgate?
Well, it's
that would have been pre.
It's pre Boobgate because Boobgate ruined her career, even though it wasn't her fault.
That makes sense. That was as fucked it, up.
Yeah, it's 1997, actually. Okay, okay.
It's like Counting Crows. God damn.
What to get together again? Though Together Again is one of the biggest selling singles of like all time. You know that one off of that record?
No.
Wow.
Okay, Quinn, just drop it. You're talking to two idiots.
The intro song is going to be like a cover of Together Again. Now,
okay, Dad, let's get you back to bed. Back in my day, we used to have 8 tracks.
My dad actually had one in his car when I was really young. He had no 8 tracks, though. It's just the player.
Really?
I mean, I think he had 8 tracks at some point, but like, I can't remember him ever like playing when I was a kid. I just remember being like, what is this tape deck?
Okay, one point and then we'll wrap it up. But a friend of mine, his grandma gave him like a Cadillac. Like she's like, oh, here's this car that I've never really driven. And it's just been in my garage forever. And he had to have an 8-track to a, it was like a tape deck converter. and then to a CD player converter that he would play his CD on. So it was like this giant bird nest of cords and
that's adapters amazing.
And wires and everything, but it would play CDs.
That seems like maybe way more work than just taking the 8-track player out and installing a new.
And that's like a portable Discman with like auto, like anti-skip.
10-second anti-skip, look out.
That's beautiful.
Man, anti-skip.
That's like when people stick like you ever see a picture of like a Sega with like was Sonic and Knuckles where you can put the extra thing on top and then it's got the Game Gear and it's just like 18 different like Genesis cartridges stacked on top of each other.
I've never seen that, but I can picture it. It's great. Okay, well, apparently we already got started early on the That's Gas section because giant Sega Genesis container or cartridges all stacked up sound pretty gas, but who you got for us today, Jeff?
Shouted out already. David Lance, aka Static Ripped, great player, good human. Congrats on doing so well. It's one of those situations too where usually you hear news like, oh, I'm going to this tournament, and then you're like, oh, that guy's in the top 8. Like, yep, of course. So good to see him crushing. Shout out David Lance.
Sweet. For me, it's gonna be Curran, or also known as Testacular. He's down in Portland, Oregon, which is south of British Columbia, Canada, by a state. And
not to be confused with Portland, Maine.
Exactly. Yeah, see, there you go.
And not to be confused with Vancouver, Washington, when you're talking about distance.
Thank you. Yeah, but I guess, you know, Vancouver, Washington is closer. Yeah, anyway, they're all in the Pacific Northwest, except for Portland, Maine.
you have to specify when you're in Portland, eh?
When you're in Portland, you have to specify?
Like, people are talking
if you're in Maine or not?
Like, you're talking about something, and you're like, where, you know, people in Portland, Oregon are like, where are you from? You're like, Vancouver. And they kind of look at you and you're like, oh, Canada. And they're like,
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Sorry.
I thought you were talking about Portland, Maine. And I was like, I'm sure they know where they are.
Yeah, you have to be like,
yeah, that seems like super pedantic.
It's
like,
lovely to be here in Portland, Oregon. USA.
Everyone goes, oh, yeah, no, for sure. We love it
great,
here.
Great. Sorry, we thought you were just confused.
Yeah. The Vancouver Washington thing does come up because I remember going to like GP Portland telling people, like, where'd you, like, oh, you're from here? And you're like, oh, no, I'm actually from Vancouver. And they're like, yeah, you fucking idiot. It's like 20 minutes. It's like, you're just, like, so dramatic.
Where I was going with this is Testacular was shouting out and tweeting about playing with Mengu. So Andrea Mengucci, I guess, was doing a video in Oregon, wherever the professor is for Tulane Academy, Tulane College. There we go. And then went to the mocks in Portland. So I don't know if you went, Quinn, to the mocks in Portland when you were there last, but I don't think any of us have gone there yet. It's their newest one, right?
I went for dinner and we ended up walking by it. And then I ran up to the window and put my face up to the glass like a 5-year-old. And then Liz was like, do you want to go inside? I'm like, no, we got to keep going. And we're going to be late for our reservation. Cool story. It looks nice inside, like the other ones.
It's like sweet. A fucking like miracle on 34th Street. You're like peering in the window, big Sears or something.
I thought about like running in and getting some booster packs and like running back out again. But it's like,
get some like Exodus or Tempest booster packs. But yeah, like I would love to go down to Portland, have a magic weekend, like especially if they had like a legacy 1K. It would be really cool if the train was actually operating now and we could do all that.
The train now goes to Seattle.
Almost.
But it's like kind of fucked for us. So there's like a morning train from Seattle to Vancouver. And then that train goes back, but it doesn't leave here till like 5 p.m. So you don't get to Seattle till like 10. Which is kind of shitty.
Play test the whole time and have fun on the train.
No, I'm just saying like there are certain trips where like that might make sense. I'm just saying like they haven't yet started like there's a morning in both directions and an evening in both directions, which would be ideal. Because then we get on the train at like 6 in the morning, we get to Seattle, then you can take a train to Portland. But right now you could not. You'd have to stay overnight in Seattle, then go to Portland.
Well, that sounds fine too. We could make a whole thing of it. It'd be fun. I don't know. But yeah. Karen, Andrea, their gas. Quinn, who you got?
I want to, that's gas. We've done this before, I'm sure. Recent guest and also soon to be married man, Tristan O'Loughlin. His real friends got together on the weekend. for his McBain was busy. I'm just fucking around.
But we got together for a wedding that day, sir. I was busy.
Well, you've clearly picked favorites as far as matrimony goes. I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
You were emceeing, right?
Yeah, I was emceeing at a wedding. First time emceeing. It's fun.
Now you have all this like practice from the mic too.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah,
I had to tell everyone at the wedding, you know why I'm so good at this. Yeah, I definitely did not say that.
The bride started getting a little negative and you got her back on track to be like, no, think about how much you love him. It's just, no, come on. Don't talk about the reserve list.
Yeah. Yeah. When I asked the best man to come up, it was just like, so we're going to do that's gas. You got to come up and no.
Listen, let's try and please stick continue. To the top 8. We don't need to talk about these rogue decks.
Get off this topic for the love of God.
Shout out to Tristan. We had a great time at his bachelor party. We played a lot of Magic, unsurprisingly. And yeah, he's not married yet. He's getting married soon, though. So I guess, what do you say before a marriage? It's you're not congrats yet, them? Right? Break a leg? I don't know.
I guess it's congrats still, right? I mean, it's not like it's not going to happen. Don't leave this dead silence here, please.
I'm not sure what's correct. Anyways, thanks for listening. If you got this far, you can find us at Canadian Thresh on Twitter. If you're mad at me because I said you really like Linkin Park or something, you can get at me at Quinn O'Mori at Twitter. Jeff?
At Jeff DKK, recently updated for October, spooky month.
What's your name?
Really? You got like a new profile pic or
no? I just changed my name to Jeff O'Lantern.
Very clever. Is that the title of the episode?
No. And not ironically either. Don't do that. McBain?
Servant Painter. I was just delaying so I could remember mine. That's all.
I needed it this time. It's been a while, man.
We don't really have any other good titles yet, though.
Yeah, we'll find one.
Oh, you will find one. All right. See y'all in two thresholds. Ayy.
Ayy.
Ayy.